Blog Talk Radio.
Do you realize that if a person doesn't come to Christ by the age of 23, that the chances that they ever do come is greatly reduced after that? That means that campus ministry represents one of the most important missions fields that we could possibly engage. At Allegheny Center Alliance Church, we took that step to plant a church and have a campus presence here in Pittsburgh starting a few years ago. So stay tuned today. We're going to talk to Pastor Marv Nelson about what's going on the campuses and what God is doing through the Aletheia Church. Stay tuned and learn something today about campus ministry.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. John Stanko, happy to be coming to you once again today for a 20-minute update on Ministry Beat, things that are going on at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. I explained to you in the introduction, Pastor Marv is going to join us today. Let me bring him on now. Pastor Marv, welcome to Ministry Beat.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good. Good to have you back. It's been a while, and we know school started right around the beginning of September, so let's jump right in. Tell us what's going on with your ministry. Give us a quick overview for people who may not know, and then tell us how the year is going.
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, we planted a church on the University of Pittsburgh's campus, Aletheia Community Alliance Church, playing on the ACAC, because we couldn't call it Allegheny Center, because nowhere near Allegheny Center. But, you know, we felt called to do that. As you mentioned in the introduction, the importance of campus ministry, the time of decision in a life of a student is kind of identifying as to where they're going to be going in the rest of their life. So we decided to do that. We started off with 8 people. 3 of those were students, and we are currently running at about 60, and the majority of them obviously are students on Pittsburgh's campus. This school year, we began with a huge barbecue that we normally do every year, where we open up a Mazeroski Field for games, and Allegheny Center Alliance Church provides food for free for as many students that come. We generally have food for about 500 to 600, and this year we saw about 550 students come, eat, hang out, play, and get introduced to our people and to our church. So it was a high-energy beginning. We saw a lot of young freshmen transfer themselves over from not just hanging out with us and eating our food, but coming to church on Sunday, where we had our largest influx of freshmen in our history at Aletheia. So it was very exciting. And I can share, if you want me to, some of the events that we've already done in the short month and a half that we've been involved, or I can talk about something else, whatever you want.
No, let's talk about the events. We want to hear what's going on. We want to be fully informed.
All right. So after the barbecue, we had our very first Sunday the very next day, and we just recently had a retreat with our students just this past weekend. And we interacted together with some new folks, a newer girl who was a freshman last year, then decided at the end of the year to get involved. She was on the retreat as well. And our theme was abiding in Christ, as John 15 talks about, abiding in Christ, abiding in his love. And so we took time to do several different practices. One of them is Lectio Divina, reading the scriptures, soaking in it, and then discussing what God was revealing to them. And then we kind of soaked in the word, understanding what does abide mean. And Joseph and I, he is the associate discipleship pastor, and he also does worship at Aletheia. He and I kind of walked through what does that mean, and just had a great time with about 16, 17 people. Enjoyed a lot of food and fun and fellowship, and it was a great time. One of our best events, I think, that we've done. And during the school year, we've talked so far about the Holy Spirit. We're going to end our series in the Holy Spirit, not this week, but next weekend, when Joseph's going to end with preaching on Holy Spirit and the importance of worship in that process. So we have some big things going on. We do a prayer meeting every Tuesday night. We have ESL every Tuesday night. And every Thursday night we have a deeper discipleship group that meets to talk about deeper life stuff. And October 5th, we're going to be serving some food with City View Church. They serve their community, and much of that is low-income homeless folks that will help feed, not this Thursday, but this coming the Thursday after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So is it fair to say you're encouraged with the way the year has gotten off?
I am. I think this year has got the most energy that I've ever seen in our beginning school year ventures, and it has the most expectation, just expecting God to do something great. He's been, you know, using our students in new ways. Folks have been coming to church, and, you know, they've been inviting in ways that, honestly, they never have invited before. So it's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and a lot of expectation to see God do some great stuff.
Yeah. What's the rest of the year hold? More of the same? You mentioned, you know, things that are happening last week. What other thoughts do you have for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we have a huge outreach that we do on the 15th of October. It's our pumpkin fest, kind of. We call it a fall fest, where we get some, actually from the pumpkin fest on the north side, we're able to purchase an entire pallet of pumpkins for $50. And so we take those pumpkins and games and fun on to the log cabin lawn at Pitt, which is right across from the Carnegie Library and right near the Cathedral of Learning. And we have pies and, you know, we have pumpkin carving, we have contests, we have sports, and we just interact with people who we normally wouldn't interact with. A lot of students just are walking by, they come in, they join the fun. We had more international students than ever before last year at our Pumpkin Fest, and so that kind of encouraged and boosted our ESL group that happens on Tuesday nights. And so just expecting more of the same. This year we're actually working with Cornerstone, which is a CCO ministry, and they're going to be bringing their folks and inviting their non-Christian friends as well. So it has capacity to be a very, you know, high capacity, excuse me, type of outreach that we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the Tuesday? Are you saying ESL?
Yeah, English is a second language. We have a conversation group that happens on Tuesday nights. Deanna Hritz leads that up with one of our students, Josh Hanley, who he's been involved since the beginning with our church and is a junior/senior because he's going to graduate at the end of this year, but he's only in his junior year. But he's a, you know, high impact, loving Jesus kind of student and helps run our ESL program on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Deanna. Do you have volunteers from ACAC who come out and help you with the ministry at Pitt?
We do, and that number has actually grown in the last couple of years. Rob and Karen Miller, who are a young couple who worked with college students at Penn State, are passionately involved. They come to everything, and they interact with students. They, you know, mentor them. Rob has even preached a couple times at Aletheia. And just their ministry to one of our students, they drive them to and from Aldi to get their groceries because this student doesn't have a vehicle. So it's cool to see that. Deanna works with our ESL and invites international students to church. Roger Walburn is there with his kids. He brings his family to interact with college students and the church. Andrew and Megan Hubacher, Andrew is actually pursuing ministry, and so he is seeking to see how he can learn and glean some information on what we do as ministers, you know, to then kind of transfer that to his future. And then Jen and Jim Armenis, they are actually folks that are working closely with Glenn Hanna, and they want to do some missions work in Paris with Envision, which is a young adult, you know, missions trip kind of organization. So they're learning how to interact and disciple college students, and so there's a lot of excitement in there. And John Diaz, which is a young adult from ACAC, who, you know, felt compelled. You know, we have a goal of being a diverse church, and he is you know, of Latino descent, and so he really wanted to come and kind of add some diversity as well as interact with a lot of our students. And so we see a good number of volunteers from ACAC that seek to mentor and grow and disciple our students.
Yeah, and your Sunday service is at 11 o'clock, is that correct? And where is it held?
We changed it to 11:15, and I forgot to mention a couple, Dan and Heidi Holt, who've been with us for about a year and a half. They've been doing some tremendous work with our students, and there's one girl in particular that they've really ministered to in some dark times in her life, and so it's just been it's been great to have them a part. They open up their house all the time, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention their powerful impact on the church as well.
Thank you to one and all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an encouragement. To your question, we moved it to 11:15 in the Frick Fine Arts building. Our students noticed that we had a lot of lingering folks at the bagel table, and we didn't really start service until 11:15 anyways. So we changed the time, which actually ended up being more attractive to our sleep-in people. So it's been cool to see some of those folks who said, oh, I just can't wake up for an 11 o'clock service. They seem to be able to wake up for an 11:15 service. So it's good.
Yeah. And, of course, the Frick Fine Arts Center is across the street, down the street from Phipps. How do we say this? Across the street from the Carnegie Library and behind Mazeroski Wall. Does that say it all?
Yeah, and you could also use the big tent on the plaza. It's across the street from there, and it's in the building where you see the huge fountain art.
Yeah, and of course God has provided that for us. And boy, it's been 5 years, has it? Is this the fifth year?
Yeah. We'll be celebrating 5 years in January.
I mentioned we want to talk about your special project that's so exciting for you personally, but I mentioned, you know, if people don't come to Christ by the time they're done with, you know, in graduate school, it becomes a lot harder for that to take place. Is that a true statement? Is that a true statistic?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it comes down to psychology, really. It's identity formation, you know. I always call college middle school 2.0 because in a lot of ways it is. If you look at the psychological swing of adolescence in middle school, they are trying to find out who they are. They could be, you know, involved in sports their freshman year, and then they're tech geeks the second year, or, you know, they just swing from different things. They could be into rap or heavy metal the next year, and so they're just trying to figure out who am I, what best fits. And by the time they get to high school, freshman, sophomore year, they feel like they know who they are. They're like, oh, I'm confident. I know my identity. But by the time they get to college and they step onto the college campus for the first time, away from mom and dad, away from home, away from the comforts of maybe their church or their community, they look in the mirror and they say, who am I? What am I going to do with my life? And, you know, by the time that they're done, many college students – know what they want to do with their life. You know, they have found a major they're passionate about, hopefully. Not all of them are. But there's this sense of I've set my face to who I am and to what I'm going to do. And so there's less moldability in many different facets, not just the spiritual facet. But if you can get them in those times of quandary of their identity and really show them the power of the gospel and their need for it, it's a very moldable time in their life where they would say, okay, I do need this. But by the time they're 30 years old and they haven't had that before, they're like, well, I've been fine. I don't need that. I am who I am. I don't need some Jesus to tell me who I am. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. And then life starts to happen. I mean, you know, if they go on to graduate school or jobs or, you know, relationships or whatever, you know, God can get put back on the back burner until they have children and you know, have to start decide about, you know, what values they're going to impart there. But the point is, this is really a vital, crucial ministry. This isn't just something we're doing because we need something to do. We and especially you and your team are committed to reaching people at a very impressionable, vulnerable, and important stage of their life.
Absolutely.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about, because it's somewhat related. Talk to me about and us about the exciting news you have in your own life and ministry.
Yeah, I was blessed to have a pretty popular author read my book, What Good Is Jesus? And about a year ago, he gave me a call and said, I want you to be a part of our team. We're developing this company called Think Burlap, and our goal is to find ways to train churches on how to interact, grow, unleash, teach millennials in a way that is very impacting on their life and actually makes sense to them. And so I started blogging with them, and they got a 10-book contract with Abingdon Press. And Abingdon and Think Burlap approached me and said, would you write a book about unleashing young leaders into their leadership roles? And they said, you have a very interesting view, because you are unleashing young adults, but you're also an older millennial who's still being unleashed in different areas of his life. And so you have an inside view on both sides. Would you be willing to write this book? And to me, that was a huge honor, because before, the first book I wrote, Pinocchio versus the Real Boy, was self-published. The second one was kind of a hodgepodge, because it's it's not a self-publishing publisher, but they said, you don't really have an audience. We are taking a risk with you, so you have to buy your first 500 books to guarantee that we get any sales at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed to that contract here. It's a contract that says we're going to pay you up front, and we're going to put your book out for circulation as soon as you write it, and we edit it. So it's just – it's a different level of writing, as you are aware, John. It's just – it's a really cool honor, and I'm really excited. As I'm pouring through the book, I'm about halfway done with chapter 6, and just the stuff that just seems to be flowing. God has just given me lots of insight and using lots of personal examples. And, you're in that book when you challenged me to go and plant Aletheia, and your encouragement in that. And so, I use some of the positive areas where you have, not that there's negative ones, but I use the positive areas of you, developing me and challenging me in that, and say, this is how we are to direct and guide and lead and challenge and ultimately unleash these young leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're so excited for you, and I see it just as an outgrowth and a continuation of the work that you're doing with Aletheia and your own ministry development. And so, congratulations, and we'll have you back on to talk about the book more when it is finalized. Now, again, we're going to wrap up here. I want to be sensitive to the time. So Sunday morning, 11:15, Frick Fine Arts Building on the campus of the University of Pittsburgh. Aletheia, is it Aletheia Alliance Church? Is that the exact name now?
Aletheia Community Alliance Church, yeah.
Aletheia Community Alliance Church. And so finishing up a series on the Holy Spirit, Tuesday night seems like it's a big night for other activities that emanate out of Aletheia Community. And then you've got some special events coming up. Do you have a website, some place where people can go to access more of what's going on?
Yeah, it's www.aletheia.net.
Okay.
So, yeah.
More time.
aletheiaca.net. aletheiaca.net.
Okay, very good. And I know you keep that up to date. Well, Pastor Marv, thank you for being a guest today. Thanks for what you're doing. God be with you on the book, but more and even more importantly, God be with you in the ministry on campus in the coming year.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been an honor to be on here with you, John. You too.
Always a pleasure. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, there you have your 20-minute update on what's going on in campus ministry. Be praying for Aletheia Community. Be praying for Pastor Marv as he finishes books. Be praying for our wonderful volunteer team who are out there week in, week out, helping to impact the lives of college students. And thanks to you, if you're part of ACAC, for making it possible. This is John Stenker, your host. Tomorrow we're going to be talking to Tim Daigle, who is overseeing our worship and youth ministries right now, been longtime member. So we'll get to hear from him tomorrow. Until then, so long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net, john.stanko. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.